The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The Fed can just print more money out of thin air, but the government's always going to be in debt to the Fed.
Everybody has questions that aren't being answered.
Ladies and gentlemen, what an episode I have for you today or tonight, depending on when you're listening. Celeste Solem of CelestialReport.com and ShepherdsHeart.life. Very, very interesting lady with incredibly unique perspectives on a lot of things. She has some truly profound thoughts, and I was very excited for her to come on Dangerous World here. So I hope that you enjoy hearing what she has to say. And if you do like her work, not only can you listen to her on other podcasts, you can just go, if you have Apple Podcasts like I use, type in Celeste Solem, C-E-L-E-S-T-E, and then Solem, S-O-L-U-M. You can type that in and you can hear a lot of her work, or you can go and watch all of her episodes that she's been part of with other shows at the Celestial Report website that I mentioned. Crazy, crazy theories on things, and crazy in a good way. We like crazy here, right? So this is crazy, but very intuitive, very smart in a very unique way. So like I said, I can't say enough really good things about this lady. And, you know, we talk about a lot of stuff, but we really focus on her theories with not only the pandemic, but just why things are so crazy insane right now. I censored myself quite a bit. You know, I'm usually like the crazy guy that's cussing up and down, but she's a very sweet lady. I didn't want to, be my normal jackass self, making dumb jokes and things. But that doesn't mean that this episode is not 100% entertaining. She talks about things that Event 201 was truly distracting from. We talk about theories on why the DNA is being manipulated. Ideas about our DNA going into a super database, and they can use our blood for things that we don't know about. In the spiritual realm, so to speak. So that's just a little sample. I don't want to give too much away because this is truly something that is unique to my show. Even I think that, you know, we've covered a lot here, but you haven't heard the thoughts that Celeste Solem has. And if you have, they're probably from her because she has very unique ideas. So not to blow too much smoke, but very, very good stuff here. I'm proud of this one. So I'm going to keep this intro short. We ended up talking for a full hour and a half. She told me she had an hour to speak, but we ended up going an hour and a half. And I thought we were actually wrapping up around an hour. So you'll feel like the episode is closing out. And then there's about another 20 minutes or so. In the Patreon portion, she talks about how her husband was killed. Very tragic event for her that, messed her up for a little while, but now she's, you know, realized that her husband's death doesn't mean that she needs to feel sorry for herself, I guess. She's out there really spreading the word and trying to build bridges, as she says, with people that don't think exactly like her and so on. Very, very interesting stuff. And again, it was a true honor to have Ms. Solem on. So if she's listening, Celeste, thank you so much for your work and for being as brave as you are. You know, she recently just got off of an oxygen tank. She got very sick. She feels that she was targeted with either, I don't know if it was a direct energy weapon that she said, or just a specific strain. And she explains that very well. You know, some people say this and have no real reasoning of why they were attacked, but she feels that she was, and her theories on it actually make a lot of sense. So I want to keep the intro short here. I do have to do my housekeeping up front. Guys, something I haven't asked you to do in a while, if you have Apple Podcasts, go and leave 5-star reviews. It's all that the sponsors care about, and I am trying to get some more cool sponsors. But that will be up to not only listens, but of course, ratings. I want to get some cool sponsors where I can have fun with the ads, to where it's not feeling like you're being sold something. But I do need, you know, support for doing the work. Like Celeste even says in this show, the stuff's not free to do. It costs a lot of energy. It costs a lot of time. And so being compensated accordingly is a no-brainer. So if you can, if you got a couple seconds, go and leave a 5-star review. And the comments are always real cool, too. If you say something funny or something heartfelt, it really, I read every single one of them. Got 130 or something like that on there right now. Want to hit 200, like ASAP. You know what I mean? I really do want that. And I think that I think it could be done very quickly. You know, this is a pretty large show with thousands of listeners. I understand only about half of the people listen on Apple, but that means I should have like 500 at least. You know, at least probably more than that, probably a couple thousand. But, you know, I understand it takes multiple seconds to go and leave a review. I get it. It's tough. But I would appreciate that, guys. Obviously, patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast is where I make the main bread and butter. And I do put a lot of really cool stuff out on that episode. I make sure that if I'm going to talk with a guest for an hour and a half, that we save the good stuff for that part. You know, y'all are giving me $3 to $10 there, depending on what you're, you know, what you feel like the show's worth, what you're able to give up out of your hard earned income. And yeah, really, really cool stuff. So again, patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast. That $3 tier gets you the full episodes. $5 gets you the rants and bonus episodes when I do those. And the $10 for now is just if you truly, truly love the show, you get producer credit. You're a producer of the show at that point. And what I'm thinking of doing here in 2022 is actually doing a monthly talk with all the $10 tier patrons, getting ideas for episodes, just shooting the shit, maybe having a drink or two and goofing around. You know, that's what, it's what this is about. I met a lot of really cool people, not only through the Patreon, but in this podcast community as well. So really appreciative of that. And I want to give something back for those people that pony up that $10. And dangerousworldstore.com for your t-shirts, your hoodies, your stickers. That's about all that's on there right now. Dangerousworldstore.com. It's a great way to support the show as well. And you spread the word with cool shirts like Government is the Virus and Conspiracy Realists. That COVID World Tour t-shirt is coming out early in 2022, probably like very, very early in January, honestly, is what I'm working on. I already have everything ready to go. Just it's a matter of time of sitting in front of my screen printing press for 8 hours and printing all of those. I want to do, you know, usually I do print on demand. So sometimes these shirts can take a little while to get to folks at the time. But I'm going to change that up in 2022 as well. When I come out with a new design, printing them out, and that's about it, unless it's a real simple design. This one's more complex. So I'm going to print all these out, and they will be shipping the day that you order those. So dangerousworldstore.com for the t-shirts and the merch. And of course, guys, Manscaped, okay? I'm going to keep this ad short because I'm really only supposed to read for them 3 times a month, but they've been very generous with a growing show like mine. Manscaped.com, and your promo code is DANGER for 20% off and free shipping. Danger, D-A-N-G-E-R, for 20% off and free shipping. Really phenomenal company. What they do for podcasts as a whole is truly incredible. And I'm very thankful that they are willing to let me talk a little shit and have some fun with their ads, because, you know, very established company, badass people. And you know, we have some fun with those ads over here. So guys, check out Celeste Solom's work. CelestialReport.com and shepherdsheart.life. She also has an Instagram. Let me see if I can pull that up quick enough while I'm talking live here. It's just Celestial Rakiya. So the full spelling of the Instagram is Celestial Rakiya. So I hope I spelled that correctly, even though I'm looking right at it. But she has beautiful nature photos. Again, coming at the things from a Christian worldview. And so despite what's gone on recently in her life, she is very positive, despite staring into the abyss, talking about CERN in this episode and how they're creating particles that travel to the center of the Earth in 8 minutes and can potentially carry our souls with it. Out there stuff, but incredibly interesting. And again, very thankful that she was able to hop on the show for as long as she did. Hope you guys enjoy this as much as I did recording it. And let's get into it. Well, folks, this is Celeste Solem, and I am extremely excited to talk to you, ma'am. I've been listening to you nonstop since I've heard you on the most recent interview, I think, that you did on the Stu Peters Show. And you only had a little bit to talk on that platform, but it was very interesting. And I think I've heard almost every interview that you've done coming at these scientific topics from a Christian worldview and a biblical perspective, I think is very interesting. So obviously you have the celestialreport.com.
Yes.
And then you have shepherdsheart.life. And those are two of the major platforms that you have. And you said you have a YouTube channel as well. Yes. Let's get some plugs out of the way right up front here. Anything else that people need to check out in order to find more of Celeste Solem's work?
So basically, I at shepherdsheart.life, I do have my blog where the news comes out. I try and write 5 articles a day or a week. but also I've written 3 books. And one is Electromagnetic Radiation Protection Solutions, and it gives everyone supplements and foods that can protect them from cosmic rays, radiation from a nuclear blast, and also 5 or 6G. So there's that one that's very popular, the 7 Thunders of Revelation Revealed. And then also a little bit different venue is Inspirational Homestead Recipes. So I did my cookbook of my favorite recipes.
Nice. Well, and then I know that you grow your own food. And I heard an interview with you back in 2020 when some medical agency was trying to instill a chip into you when you were in the middle of carving out the pits of 100 pounds of cherries. So I find that very interesting. We're going to get into all kinds of stuff here, but I want to see where you'd like to start this off, because not only are you all about like the holistic and the, you know, homesteading and all that good stuff, you have very, very interesting takes on what this vaccine is all about. I've heard you talk about CERN. I've heard you talk about several things that are very, very interesting to me. And I want to see where you want to start with this, because it seems like you've had a very interesting life and very interesting work experience. So I'll hand it over to you, and I will just hop in whenever I have some questions.
Okay, sounds good. Well, I guess we have to start at the beginning, because this is a new audience. And my dad worked for Naval Warfare Intelligence. And at 5, he put me on his lap and he said, this whole thing's going to come down on your watch. And I knew he was telling the truth, because, I mean, not every kid comes home from school and there's a submarine in their driveway. You learn how to use chopsticks from Wally Schirra, the astronaut. You know famous microbiologists whose work is just now coming into play, Roman Vishniak. The archaeologists, this was like the early 60s that were digging out or bringing out advanced technology from ancient civilizations in their archaeological digs. So I knew that it was the truth. So what I did is I spent my growing up years acquiring skill sets that would get me through. And that would be beneficial. That would be an arc, not only for myself, but for all of you out there. And so that's what I, so basically my phrase, if you have to say, put your life in a little nutshell sentence is, I am an 1880 woman, pioneer woman fighting a 21st century war. So that's kind of what my life is about. And I'm a researcher. I write. I have worked in government. I've worked in medicine and of course, organic farming. I always kept my hands in the dirt. And why would I keep my hands in the dirt doing the things of type of things that I did? And that's because it gives you an opportunity to know what is normal, what is not normal, and a gauge of things. It's no different than having a thermometer and you put it in your mouth to see if you've got a fever or not. My hands in the dirt kept me in tune with the dirt. And quite frankly, many people think that food just materializes at the grocery store or at the fast food place. It just comes, you know, it just is born there, you know. A hamburger is just has another hamburger and there they go, you know. And it just isn't the truth. So that's kind of my life. And I guess from there, I'm new to your audience, so I don't know what you think they might be interested in, and we can go from there.
Well, so definitely I would, you know, you mentioned that you worked in government and you worked in medicine. Could you elaborate on what government agencies you worked mm-hmm. with and then your medicine experience?
Okay, so I started out in nursing school and in pediatrics, but I had a child with a lot of birth defects, and so I didn't want to have to, you know, do it 24/7. So I went into dentistry, and I did front office and also was a dental assistant. And I really liked the surgery, oral surgery part. I could tell you stories.
It seems so gross. It seems so nasty having to mess with people's mouths like that.
Oh, I think the funniest time is when I was, I'm a backpacker and a mountain climber. And so I broke my arm and I'm in there in the cast and I've got it on the unit there, you know, and I'm going to do participate in the surgery, you know, and these patients' eyes get like this big. But, you know, you get pretty ambidextrous and you really know what the doctor wants. So it wasn't that big of a deal, but you should have seen their eyes. It was kind of funny. And so then I went to environmental medicine, where Dr. Philip Ranheim, wonderful man, just passed away from COVID. He taught me basically alternative modalities. I was really stuck at, because in nursing school, you're taught the allopathic. And I was stuck on allopathic. I didn't believe in anything else could heal, you know, except for prayer and the Lord. And in 2002, I had an experience and Dr. Ranheim really walked me through it. And he said, I'll do the best I can do and we'll pray. But I learned about all the different other healing modalities. And from there, I just took off and spread my wings. And then he actually consulted with me, you know, on certain things because I was able to spend the time in researching and things that he couldn't because he had a full deck of patients. And then, of course, I took a 90 degree hard left and I wanted to serve my country. And I looked at the Red Cross, but they had like this 30 page contract and you really couldn't share your faith with anyone. And I thought, well, I mean, that isn't even me. I mean, in a disaster, I would want to share my faith or be able to pray with somebody. And so I didn't do that. So I went into emergency management, was FEMA trained and certified, went DHS. So I did Y2K, 9/11, Hurricane Katrina, terrorism, floods, earthquakes, you name it. I was a part of all that, a very pivotal time in history. honestly, our country really changed. And so a little bit in DHS, and then it was time for me to leave. And I just moved to Montana and did an organic farm and enjoyed that, loved it. Everybody said, oh, you can't grow food in Montana. And I said, oh, yes, you could. And so I had orange trees, lemon trees, mandarin oranges. I grew crops from around the world, different time periods, 50 different kinds of tomatoes, 100 different kinds of peppers, and crops from around the world. So I was very successful at it. And so, yes, you can. In the Rocky Mountains, where it gets to be minus 50, you can grow food, any kind of food that you love. So that's
very interesting.
It keeps me balanced. You know, I have to go to very dark places, and
yes,
you've got to be, you have to go where your passion is to keep you, so you don't get swallowed up. I once knew a man, and he was on a deliverance prayer team that I was on, and he wanted to study evil, and he was an engineer. He worked at Boeing, and he was married. Nice man, but he wanted to find the root of evil, basically. And so he went about it methodically, studying evil, the spirits, the hierarchy and everything. But he got swallowed up. He ended up losing his faith, his home, his wife, and everything. I mean, so I know, I saw at that time, I said, I understand I need to come against powers and principalities, but I don't want it to be my only focus. I learned a very important life lesson with, unfortunately, with his example.
Very, I mean, yeah, it's like I said, I've been really interested in what you've been up to throughout your life based off of just a quick, like I said, what was it, 5 minutes that you did on Stu Peters? And I thought that what you were talking about really had a lot to do with exactly what's going on. So just to be clear, you were part of Department of Homeland Security and FEMA as well, right? You were, so FEMA, it's not just training. You were actually employed by FEMA, or does it work differently than what I'm understanding here?
No, it's, I was in, did plans. I did the template that you see for emergency plans when, okay, so who does what in the emergency? What assets are there? Who do you contact? That type of thing. I worked on a general template. Before that, there wasn't, you know, it was like when I started out, it was like the whiteboard, which is the equivalent of the chalkboard. And then, I got to see all the changes to the, like, what is it, WebEx. It's like a emergency management computer software where you can manage incidents. So I loved plans, I guess, the most. And I loved the activations. I mean, it really was interesting, like the day of 9/11. We didn't do our,
I couldn't imagine.
Our hot wash, our after at 11 o'clock at night. And we had just had someone from, we had just hired for a counterterrorism guy come in from, he was a Bobby from the UK. And he had just come over not too long before 9/11. And he was on his way to work. And we don't turn radios on anymore. The radio was on in the car, and he was yelling at the car, they got to stop talking about this because it's going to scare people. And it's not true, you know, and until he got to work and he realized that it really did happen. So
wow.
I can't remember that because it's been a while now. Did my boss go with the governor, and then he went with, or maybe my boss went with the policymakers, and I think Chris went with the governor, and he went with the policymakers. And so I was in charge of working with the military to check infrastructure, like dams, bridges, hospitals, just make sure that, you know, how nobody knew that day how extensive this was, and or how long it would be. And what a lot of people don't know is that all the emergency managers and the right-hand people were in New York for this. They had gone back for this. They didn't know. They thought it was an exercise.
And it's very interesting. It was a perfect storm. I mean, you had NATO, or what was it? The not NATO. The who watches Santa Claus? We just did it. NORAD. You had them running the drill, right? I mean, like it was a perfect storm, it seems. And I'm very interested to hear what your opinion is on 9/11. But that's not why we're here talking. We're obviously, you know, I want to hear your opinions on what's going on with the vaccine and all these other things. You know, obviously people can hopefully understand that you're not just someone talking, you know, crazy nonsense. You have experience. And, you know, from what I understand, you've sat in on, you know, militaristic meetings of sorts, and you have some serious experience and some knowledge about what's going on. One thing that I want to learn more about here for sure, Event 201, a lot of people were talking about this Event 201 deal, right? It seems like it was a distraction from something that was much more important that was going on either just before or right around the same time. Do you want to elaborate on the real drill that Event 201 was distracting from, sponsored by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, for sure?
Okay, so Event 201, it was, they were, ClaideX and Event 201 were the same year. And Event 201 was a regular pandemic exercise. If I told you how many pandemic exercises, there was the bird flu pandemic exercise. There's like the smallpox, dark winter exercise. I mean, there are so many pandemic exercises, like every year at the state level, at the federal level, at the county level. So really Event 201 was just the same old, same old. It really was. ClaideX, on the other hand, caught my eye because in it, I go, there's something behind that name. So I looked into the name ClaideX and I discovered that this exercise was a pandemic, yes, but on a new life form that had never been seen on planet Earth before. That is the big difference. And so what people don't know is that traditionally throughout history, all life was classified under the Linnaeus classification of life. A human's a human, a cat's a cat, a dog is a dog. And that's the way it has always been up until about 10 years, about 2000 to 2010.
You're not talking about the event that went down Halloween 2005?
No, I'm talking about a classification. It's called the PHYLO code, PHYLO CODE. Let's bring it up so that everybody can see what the PHYLO code is and what I'm talking about.
It's an interesting concept for sure. And when I see the X, because Clade, you know, it's Clade and then Space X, if I'm not mistaken. And then when you get the X, it is kind of crossing things together. So like, for example, in the marijuana industry, when they're crossing two different strains together, they put an X in the middle of these two strains. It's like, you know, to kind of equate it to something that would be, you know, tying into chimeras or anything like that, you would do like rat X human or, you know, whatever kind of different order you want to throw those in. But you're literally creating something completely different by mixing these two unique things.
And this can be spirits, hybrids, ET, reanimated life forms like maybe Pharaoh or Hitler or something like this. This PHYLO code leaves room for all of it. And it's a new classification of life So it was 2010 that I believe it was, they worked on it for 10 years anyway. And then what happened is it was approved. And what was the first incidence or the first time that the FILO code was used? January 2020 with the SARS-CoV-2. It was a new life form that had been manufactured in a lab, released. I don't care if it's deliberate or unintentional. If you have read Lab 257, they always, labs always leak. And there was an organization in the United States, I think it was called the Sunshine Organization, and they would monitor the biological laboratories to see, you know, how much they were leaking, that type of thing. They shut down at, like, I don't know, maybe 2008, somewhere around there. And so they no longer were keeping track of the biological laboratory experimentations.
That's interesting. Have you heard, you know, because obviously we're talking a lot about, you know, technological aspects, and I do want to get into the ideas that you have about what the hydrogel represents and all these different things. Have you heard Yuval Harari's speech at the World Economic Forum in 2020?
Refresh me on which one, you know, so oftentimes I'm writing an article while I listen, so I'm multitasking. So
yeah, Yuval Harari, he's an Israeli, so he's an atheist. He's a homosexual, which I don't have any problem with anyone's worldview or anyone's preferences. That none of that stuff bothers me. But in this speech, he's talking a whole lot about creating a new heaven and a new hell and reinventing the spirit. And I didn't think that atheists believed in any of those things. So it's very interesting. He's talking about creating new versions of these things. I myself am more agnostic, but I am very interested in the Christian perspective because I see so much persecution going on with the Judeo-Christian values that America, I think, represents as a whole. But anyway, so this guy, his speech is about the three, you know, world-ending type of like three categories that could end the world as we know it. And so we're talking about like nuclear war, ecological collapse, and then the one that no one really talks about is like a technocratic or techno overlord type situation. And he just says, like, you know, if everyone doesn't have the same access to AI, it's going to make it so that there's data colonies. And then there's like overlords that see all of this, you know, basically we're all going to be techno slaves in a sense. I know that you've spoken on this, so that's why I was curious if you've heard his speech, because it's something that I think you'd be very, very interested in.
Yeah. It's interesting that you mentioned that, because I just did a 2-part webinar last week. And how it happened is I got a white paper last week and I couldn't stand it. It was about the elements and the spirits attached to the elements. Now you need to understand the backstory. The backstory is that right now science and researchers and academia is breaking everything down to its elemental form. And what I didn't realize is that is talked about in the Bible. The elements and being broken down. And this is where this guy probably got this concept. And then it's being remade, or it's being remade as a new life form, a new system, that type of thing. Everything from our bodies to animals to plants to you name it, it's being our consumables, our energy, what we eat, everything is being remade right now. But first it's torn down to its elemental form. And so at celestialreport.com, I have this, the Lord of Hosts and the elemental spirits. You might want to take a listen to it. Was very interesting, including one of the things that I really didn't know. I mean, I go into my research with a very open mind. I don't go with a preconceived idea. Like, I'm not out to prove anything. I go out, okay, what am I going to learn from whatever text I'm reading? And so I learned that, remember those arches of Baal? I think there was one up in New York or Washington, D.C., one in London. They were put around the world and they kind of moved them around. Those actually were a portal for the bull gods. And you go, okay, bull gods, that's like Baal. People sacrifice children, like the Canaanites and all the ites in the Bible.
We're talking Moloch?
Like Moloch, but Baal was a different one. I mean, there's a lot of idols that they did this with. But the interesting thing about Baal was these bull gods were in charge of chaotic weather. And what are we hearing? Climate change. And we blame it on geoengineering. We are in the sixth extinction level event. So there are cycles of time, of which we're in one now, where our magnetosphere is collapsing. There are certain things. It's happened 5 times on Earth. 90% of life on Earth was destroyed during these. And so we just live in this crazy time. And I think the elite want to get the power and what they believe. They know that it's coming. And so they're preparing. Are they preparing the people? No, they're not preparing the people. There was a person that worked for the CIA, Hapgood, that debunked the whole extinction level event theory at the time. This was 50s, early 60s, work for the CIA. At the same time, there was a challenge, a power struggle within the CIA. And Achan Thomas wrote the Adam and Eve story. Have you read the Adam and Eve story?
I have, but I'm not as like knowledgeable about every single part of that. I know the gist of it, you know, Adam and Eve, and then the serpent comes and tempts them and all this stuff. Are you getting at something else here?
No, this is a book of catastrophe. This is about the poles flipping and a 1,000-foot wave coming across the world, decimating almost all life forms. That is what the CIA was trying to hide was coming. And we have begun that cycle right now. And the elite believe they're going to upload themselves to a synthetic life form, go off planet or whatever, however they're going to weather it, maybe go to their bunkers. I don't know. But the Earth is pretty much toasted or fried during this cycle. There are million-year cycles, 100-year, 100,000-year cycles, 25,000-year cycles. And between last year and 2050, all the cycles converge. For instance, last December, we just crossed over the 25,000 year cycle. And what is that cycle? That's how long it takes for all the constellations to do the full loop around. And at that flexure point, when you enter a new, it's called the Age of Aquarius now. You know, there was a song in the 60s, the Age of Aquarius, but we actually are in the Age of Aquarius now. And at that flexure point are the most catastrophic disasters in all history upon the face of the earth.
Okay. So I've heard that a lot of people think that the age of Aquarius isn't coming until 2150. So you're saying that that is 100% wrong. And I've heard other people say what you're saying for sure.
Well, I know, but it really, if you follow the celestial, the constellations, I mean, people do have this variance. And if it's 100 years off, it's, you know, in the time span of 25,000 years, 100 years really isn't that much. But really, truly, the Earth, the planets, and the stars are showing signs that we are undergoing this extinction level event. And that's what the Adam and Eve story is all about. And it's only 100 pages long. I really encourage everybody to look at it. You can look at Get It Free and read it at the CIA Reading Room. If you want, we can go and I can show people if you
think. Oh, you know what? I have seen that the CIA has that story on their website. Yeah, one of my buddies from another podcast showed me that. And I found it kind of mind blowing that the CIA is talking about Adam and Eve. You're breaking that down in a different way than anyone else has. Most people just say, look at this. What do you think about it? And you're actually saying that it is a story of cataclysm, of the end times. And I mean, you know, I heard that there was a way that you can actually know for a fact what aeon or what age or whatever you're in by wherever the sun rises. And I think the constellation that is directly in front of where the sun rises, that's what aeon you're in. So like if the sun is rising right behind Aquarius, then we're in Aquarius. So yeah, I mean, like I would definitely 100% agree with it. But what do you think the reasoning is for, you know, mainstream, even some alternative thinkers are sitting out there saying we're still in Pisces, you know, Jesus Christ is the Messiah for the Pisces era, if I'm not mistaken. That's what the fish represents and all those things. So what does it mean if we're in the age of Aquarius and Jesus is the Messiah for the Pisces era?
So basically what it means is we're almost all cultures and religions believe that we're in the last cycle. And that cycle is, my belief is between 2020 and 2050. And that at that point, it's a reset. It's you know, I look at the Mayans and their 2012 as a reset, but it was, I believe that it did start a reset of sorts. I think we took another course in history, but it wasn't the end of the world. A lot of people thought, oh, you know, Earth's going to blow up. In the same way, I think it is going to be a reset. In my belief system, which is biblical, as you know, basically Jesus would reign 1,000 years. He would come back, and it would be a righteous government instead of the not righteous government that we have now. There would be fairness, there would be order, but it would be not, you know, black booted, you know, on your neck type order. It would be, you know, where people get along, and it would just be this wonderful era for a time. And then the Bible does say that the heaven and earth will be burned up. And I believe that we are seeing with this breaking down of all things into their elemental form, you do that with heat. I mean, because when you get down to the molecular and the atomic level, it's energy. And so this is a heat of sorts. And if you're rebuilding it then, and it's evil, totally evil, that heat will eventually consume and destroy. And so that's what I think eventually happens with the heaven and earth, that it has to be cleansed. That energy was dark energy and not energy of light.
Yeah, it has been for some time, it seems, that things have been slowly drifting over to that negative side of things. But I want to kind of go back a little bit to what you were talking about. You mentioned a few things. You had a theory that was very interesting about, you know, when you're getting tested for COVID, not just getting the vaccination, not just, you know, eating contaminated foods. I mean, you were talking about this last year, that you can get the vaccine through, your example was tomatoes, but I think that it could be any kind of vegetable that they can, you know, inject this hydrogel into or genetically modify it. I'm sure Monsanto plays a significant part in what they're doing. But you said something about getting tested specifically that was very scary to me. And I've never been tested. I'm not a vaccine fan. I actually got in an argument with a cousin at a Christmas party, and she's a ICU nurse. And she started crying because I was bringing up Carrie Mullis and all these other people that she had no idea. And, you know, she's got a doctorate. She's a very, very smart individual. And I just felt bad that, you know, these people are part of a cult, in my opinion. And I kind of said that to her, and that's when she got upset. But there was something very interesting that they, you know, when you're getting your nose swabbed and they're touching that blood brain barrier, they can do things with that blood that you're not consenting to, from what you were saying. Can you elaborate on some of those things? Because that was very interesting to me.
Okay, so one of the things is your blood goes into the quantum computer, and they can use it for anything. They share, they swap, researchers can get it. They can use it for sacrifices. They can use it for anything. They can form weapons against you, personalized weapons, because we are in the era since 2016 of precision medicine. That is medicine based solely on your blood type. You have to do a sacrificial blood offering to get medical service, starting in 2016. Of course, they don't just do the whole tomato at the, you know, they ease the population into it. And, you know, something like COVID helps that greatly. But there are hydrogel, quantum dot on there. And basically it goes into the blood brain barrier and it takes over. And not only does it take over your body, your biological body, as it starts to grow, it grows. It's a DARPA project. They wanted to put chips in everybody's brain, and they didn't want to have to do brain surgery on everybody. So they developed this gel, and it was hydrogel. And I interviewed one mom, and her daughter had her daughter was born in 1986, and she started to have some problems in 1987, and she had to have brain surgery. Her surgeon was Dr. Ben Carson, who ran for president. And the mom, Barb, asked, "Well, what did you find when you opened up her brain?" And he said, "I don't know." He said it was glue. It was in every nook and cranny of her brain. It went down her brainstem and went throughout her nervous system. And poor little Julie died of hydrogel consuming her body in 2003. The doctors, Dr. Ben Carson, called some doctors, wanted to find out, you know, what is this stuff? Nobody knew it because it was a DARPA black project. And so now we know, and it's out there. But what the ultimate purpose is, I only discovered just, I don't know, maybe a month or two ago, maybe it was November 1st, around then, was that it's direct evolution. These people believe in Darwinianism, and they believe that humans and plants and animals should be directed. They want the power. They want to act as God. So every time you get a test, every time you use a pharmaceutical, and actually, I have terrible news for you. Hydrogel now has been aerosolized. It's called aerogel. World Economic Forum in January this year said it will be the Moderna and Pfizer platform will be in all food by the end of 2021. They have succeeded. So the platform is there. It can remotely deploy any drug and any vaccine to you at any time without your consent. So that is in the food supply. And then the hydrogel, you've heard of the war on microplastics, that we're drowning in microplastics. Well, they've got the cure. You know, don't forget, it's the Hegelian dialectic. You know, they cause the problem and then they're the white heroes, you know.
Problem, like reaction, solution. Yeah.
Problem, reaction, solution. And so they're going to have hydrogel membranes that they filter the water through, but the hydrogel particles will go into the people. What is the problem with that? Is it's track and trace. They can, just like your cell phone, they can track you, trace you. We are coming into a day where you're going to be told what food you can eat and what you can't. You're going to be buying food by the 1/1000th of a calorie, known as a kilocalorie, or if DARPA has their way, by the molecule. And let's say you go to your doctor, he says, or the UN says, you can have that bagel. And you say, oh, I have a stash of bagels. I'm a prepper, you know, or I can make my own bagels. I'm going to have a bagel. So you eat your bagel, but you have this platform in it, and it instantly, the minute that bagel goes into your mouth, it's notified the government, the military, your bank, your doctor, your life insurance, your health insurance, and anybody else probably on the open market. Now you're facing fines for non-compliance, maybe prison time, maybe even death for not compliance to the powers that be. That's how dangerous this hydrogel is.
Well, it sounds goofy, but the smart toilets that they're creating seem to play a role in that too, because obviously a smart toilet would be able to gauge what you're eating, right? Based off of, you know, what toilets do. So, you know, it's just a very, very interesting concept. What makes you feel, because you seem relatively happy for knowing all this information. I find it very interesting that you're not angry about this stuff.
I'm angry. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing what I do, spending hours on air and doing research. So
you just smile so much and you seem and like you have a positive outlook, even though you're very clear about the idea that, yeah, like, you know, the end is very near. And that's something that I found very, you know, unique about you, is that a lot of like hucksters of religion, like Joel Osteen types. I don't know how you feel about Joel Osteen. I'm not a fan, but I think that like people like that will tell you that, you know, the end is near, but they have the answer as long as you pay them. You seem to come at it from, yeah, the end is near and there's nothing you can really do about it, but, you know, get closer to your creator and things like this. You're not necessarily looking for a monetary benefit or anything like that. But I just find it mind blowing that you can really look into the abyss like this. And then, you know, just kind of at the same time be like, you know what, like it is what it is. We can't do anything about it. Do you really feel like there's nothing that we can do about it?
I think that there are things that we can do about it. I think of our state of mind. I like to live in the peaceful zone. I put time into my passion. Yes, I look into the abyss, but I also spend time doing things that I love. What are those? I love to garden. I love to cook. I love taking care of my house. I love being a human. And that's why I will never go for this type of technocracy and all their little bells and gadgets. I mean, some things I don't have a choice because I'm breathing, you know, I have to drink water. But I believe that I'm not panicked about it. I live in a state of peace. I'm enjoying being this human, and I'm going to reach out. I'm going to reach out to you. I'm going to do your podcast. I am going to call widows on Christmas that don't have anybody. Or if somebody's sick, I'm like, I'm walking somebody whose mom is in the hospital with COVID. I'm on the phone, giving tips, helping out where I can. I'm going to be a human. And everyone listening and seeing this podcast, if you're an artist, you can do an artwork and give it to somebody or cheer somebody up. If you're a musician, compose a piece and bless people with it. If you're a baker, you know, bake some cookies and give them out to somebody that is less fortunate than you or somebody that you don't know. I know one time, it doesn't even have to be something tangible. One time I was filling up gas when I lived in Montana, and this woman looked very distressed. And I said, "Are you okay?" Just a question, "Are you okay?" And she said, "No, my niece has just been kidnapped, and she was trafficked, and she was having, you know, reaching the dead end with the FBI and local law enforcement, because quite frankly, there is a big trafficking in the United States." But she was very comforted. And I took the time to just let her tell her story and to say, "I care, and I will pass some posters out." So just being a human, you know. One time there was this little old lady, and she was like 5 foot, and she wanted, looking at some bread, and she's trying to tell which two of the loaves she wanted. And it was at the top shelf at the grocery store. And I said, "Would you like me to hand these down to you so you can take a better look?" And she goes, "Oh yes, would you do that, dear?" And I said, "Yes." And so I just, all I did is, and she goes, "Oh, thank you." She goes, "My name's Esther." I said, she goes, "Do you know of Esther?" And I say, "Yes. And it's very nice to meet you." You know, I never saw her again. But just that act of kindness, that was in the 1980s. It blessed me. And so I can have a smile on my face during these really dark times. So,
yeah, I mean, obviously there is something to be said about just doing good deeds for people, for sure. But you know, I do have a few things to ask you, and I want to be respectful of your time. So just let me know when you have to get out of here. One thing I'm very, very interested in is CERN's role in this entire, thing that's going on. I think that it's very, very, you know, when this whole thing came about, CERN, that is, everyone was kind of taken back, and, you know, the Mandela effect, all these kind of weird little conspiracies were all tied back to CERN. The logo alone, you know, you can see the mark of the beast in the logo. So what role do you think CERN has with the hydrogel, with the COVID vaccine, and with, as you say, the sixth and final extinction level event?
So did you see that tunnel, that Gothenburg tunnel, the ceremony that they did for that?
Oh, are you talking like the guy coming out in the goat and like, you know, they're honoring Shiva?
That's, and you know, Shiva's, yeah, there. So they're trying to look for the God particle, but it's more insidious than that. So my take is that there's something that they're that's called strangelets that are coming from CERN. And these are very dense matter, and they actually they go to the center of the Earth very fast. I think it's 8 minutes, but it collects other matter with it as it goes. I wonder if it can't take souls. That's just, I don't know, but they are playing God particle, that type of thing. The problem with that is, the core of the Earth can only take so many strangelets because they're so dense. And we just happen to be in this time of high cosmic rays, and we're entering a galactic electric current sheet, which also has strangelets. And because of our magnetosphere, which is, if you're a Star Trek buff, our shields are down. So the cosmic rays come flooding in, and those have strangelets. But I didn't understand their agenda for a long time. And then I heard a theory, and I believe that it's probably accurate, is that they want to turn the earth into a giant blood sacrifice and turn it into a neutron star. And kind of like the finale, we just blow up.
And this is the sixth extinction level event.
It could be because most cultures and religions believe it's the last cycle, but it doesn't necessarily, because we've had five extinction level events, which killed 90% of life on Earth. But all life came back, different life forms, maybe a different way, but they came back. We humans survived, animals survived, plants survived. This time, if the Earth does turn into a neutron star, nobody's going to survive, except if you did get uploaded or if you were off planet or whatever.
Well, and there's a major focus on getting off planet. I mean, you have Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Richard Branson. Name a billionaire, and they're looking into getting off planet. So is this why they're doing it? They're acting like it's for tourism, but, you feel like they're doing it in order to colonize other planets? Or are we looking at like a Wall-E situation, that Disney movie where, the metaverse at the same time as like this off-planet travel is coming in? Are people going to be kind of projected into a different realm, so to speak, and their actual physical body is just, probably pumped full of toxic food, and they're just sitting on a craft and enjoying a fake world that they're living in?
Well, that's whether you're off world or on world, that's what they want for us. I mean, I was at Costco the other day and I saw the Oculus glasses, the virtual reality, and, you're supposed to sit in your tiny house, eat your insect protein, and just have your Oculus glasses and live life virtually, and you never move. You just sit in your lazy boy and you just rot away while you could be enjoying life. So it's pretty sad, really.
Well, and it seems like, again, you look at the world from a Christian worldview, a biblical worldview. God wants us to enjoy life. And, it seems that the devil is behind this agenda. Satan's behind this agenda in some sort of form. And our DNA is the fingerprint of the creator. Whatever, whatever religion people may want to fall behind, the DNA that we have as human beings is God's fingerprint in a way. And these jabs, these vaccines, they seem to be hijacking that double helix fashion in our DNA and turning it into either a triple or quadruple helix. What would be the reasoning behind that? Is this just to add like another mechanical component? Or, because that doesn't make sense to me. That's the stuff that goes right over my head.
Well, as it stands right now in the legal realm, you cannot patent anything that is original, like
bird flu or whatever.
No, like a tomato or a dandelion.
Oh, okay.
Cannot patent it. But the minute that you genetically modify it, then it becomes an owner, and two, you can patent it.
So this is why Monsanto blew up. Like as far as financially, right?
Well, yeah, because then if their GMO pollen gets on your organic field, you have to pay them because that's theft of intellectual property. So have you thought about, and I discussed this in my webinar on the SARS-CoV-2, that when you pass, this is a patented biological weapon. And if let's say I'm at your house and I have it and I pass it to you, are we going to see the day when I could get fined or go to jail because I have transmitted intellectual property that was not mine based on that original GMO farm next to the organic farm. The case statute is already there.
Wow. Well, so this would make sense why you're not allowed to collect rainwater in so many states, because the rain is falling through, you know, miles of freaking, you know, genetically modified air in a sense, right? All the different nanoparticles that are in the air. So this is why you can't collect rainwater. That makes so much sense.
Yep. And then if you transmit it, if you give it away, that's transmitting intellectual property. And eventually that's going to bite some people big time.
Are you talking about people that are producing these patents or owners of the patents?
So you say, I've got some rainwater that I collected off my roof and your neighbor's in a drought. You know, you guys are in a drought and you share it with them. So you've shared intellectual property that wasn't yours. And so you can be fined and you can go to jail because you shared that water that fell on your house that you really shouldn't have anyway.
So when do you think this is all going to happen? When do you think that this is going to be patent? I mean, like, obviously the patents are in place and you laid that out pretty well. And you always challenge anyone that doesn't believe what you're saying to go to your websites because you list the patents and you talk about these things in depth. When do you think that this is all going to be the way that we're living?
I think that next year is going to be very interesting. This year was a big chaos, you know. Well, since 2020, it was chaos. They're fleshing it out. And then I think we're already seeing a lot of deaths, a lot of disability, which is what they said would happen in the very beginning. The very organization that named SARS-CoV-2, they said that the first waves would cause massive disability and later waves would cause death. And then we're going to see this whole, as the economy crashes and nobody's producing anything and money's scarce, then they're going to say, okay, you've been spreading intellectual property. We want our share. They're going to be like the mafia bosses and they want their money. And you said, well, you know, people throughout history had colds and they gave it to one another. Nobody had to pay for it. Well, the difference is this is intellectual property. This is not your average cold that humans have.
Well, folks, that does it for the first hour of my chat with Celeste Solem. Very, very interesting lady. Head on over to patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast to get not only her take on the deep state murder of her husband, but a lot of other topics, man. This was a fun chat, running the gamut of all kinds of things. And I hope to see you over there, patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast.